And back on the pregame show, we're now joined by head coach Brent Bolte. And coach, we touched on it a bit after the game. Your offense in the first half just could not get out of its own way. Now that you've had a chance to look at the film a little bit against Moorhead, what did you see that were causing your offense problems?
I mean, it's a little bit to do with us, a little bit to do with Moorhead. We had some plays that were there. They did in the first half. They had some interesting looks at we probably hadn't seen him do. So they schemed us up pretty good. And by the time we made those adjustments and kind of felt comfortable with them was in the second half. And then I thought we started, you know, being able to move the ball pretty consistent on them.
We also mentioned that your defense, despite all of the offense's problems, played pretty well in the first half. And it was not bad that you were down only 19-0, considering what had happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting day and throughout the course of the year and really just in sport in general, you never know who's going to have to pick up and, you know, if one side is struggling on or if there's an injury or this or that. So I thought it was good for our psyche because the offense had kind of been doing that for our defense throughout the course of the year. And so it's nice to be able to return the favor and play well. And did we probably left some things out there where we could even done a little bit better, but all things considered, where they were getting the ball, some field position and some, you know, less than spectacular special teams play. I thought our defense did a really nice job handling and really building some confidence as the game went on.
Your team came out of the locker room in the second half, bang, bang, two touchdown drives right down the field both times. What was the key to this flipping the switch to get the offense going in the second half?
You know, I think halftime came at the right time and, you know, they drove the field right before half. We were able to, you know, they attempted a field goal. They missed it. I think that kind of gave us a little confidence. The guys were excited about that. Knowing that we were getting the ball in the second half and the win in the fourth quarter was, you know, big to be able to defer right away. So I think our guys just took a deep breath at half and just said, hey, we got this. We've been in these positions before. Even against Moorhead, we've been down. I think 1 year we were down 28-7. Came back and won 42-28 and played well. So we talked about that and just challenged them to go out and play our football and quit worrying about everything else. Just go out and play the game. And it was big that the offense was able to get some success on that first drive of the third quarter and kind of use that to kind of, you know, push them along the way as we got into the fourth.
Let's take a look at the final drive. You had a couple penalties you had to overcome. Alt was 4 for 4. But you had 7 straight running plays before the winning touchdown pass. Was there something you saw in their defense that opened up for those plays, or was it the fact that Mikayo was able to just keep churning out yardage? What caused 7 straight running plays at that point in the football game?
Well, I think a little bit was time management too. We didn't want to leave them with a whole bunch of time to come back and have an opportunity to, you know, score a game-winning touchdown. And, you know, some part of the tempo offense where, you know, you can wear down, not allow them to substitute, and you're able to stay in similar personnel as we're running able to allow them to sub. And I think it was just coming back to, we have to be multiple. We have to be able to run the football. It's only going to help us down the road and get some confidence in that young offensive line. Cause obviously we got some upperclassmen that are banged up and out. So that was just good. And we finally, like I told you, we had some things that they were showing some different things on defense, and I think we kind of ironed those out and felt comfortable being able to run the ball there at the end of the game.
And the go-ahead pass play, the 7-yard touchdown on fourth down, it just seemed like the middle of the field opened up for Malik to catch that pass. Was that a play design that worked that way? Was Malik just kind of on his own to get himself open? Kind of take us through that play and what happened.
You know, we run a similar defensive scheme to what they were doing. It's kind of a zone, if you will, like 7 underneath zone, or 7 zones and the 7 droppers, I should say. And one of the hardest things to defend is guys running vertical over top of those zone guys because you really don't have any cap help. You don't have a safety. You just have the back of the end zone. So, you know, he made his move, and the guy thought he was going to be running an out route, which we do a lot with Malik on some of those plays. And he took one step to kind of defend the out because he's got – only thing that he has is help to the outside. So Malik kind of set him up and was able to turn over the top, and that's why you saw that play kind of open up that way.
And it kind of looked like your 2-point conversion play was similar to that, was it?
Yeah, we've been working on – we got a whole bag of – you know, when you have COVID for, you know, the off season and all that, we have a lot of 2-point conversion plays that we've been working on. So That's a good one. We kind of faked the tunnel screen and get those guys to bite and then, you know, leaked them over the top. So yeah, it was kind of a similar look, but a little bit more gadgety, I would say, just showing the fake kind of, you know, Patriots did it a lot. Some of those teams in the NFL show those quick tunnel screens to get inside and we leak that the blocker over the top of the defender.
And we need to mention your young offensive line. We talked about the fact you had to do some shuffling. When your elder statesman is a sophomore with one letter and everyone else is very, very young, I thought your offensive line, considering the situation, a veteran defensive line, I thought they played really well on Saturday.
Yeah, there's always going to be some growing pains in life. You know, there's going to be some things that early they got us where, you know, they had a free runner, got all on the ground early, and we haven't gave up very many sacks the whole year. I think that was the fourth total on the season through, you know, eight games or seven games. So those guys have done a pretty good job, and Brandon's been, you know, good to get the ball out. But yeah, I think you just see every game, every rep, practice and in games, those guys are just going to keep getting better, and they're talented. They're just kind of lean on experience. So they'll just continue to get better and better and better.
Head coach Brent Bolte with us. We'll move on and talk about Duluth in our next segment. That's coming up on the Beaver Radio Network. Back on the pregame show, head coach Brent Bolte joins us. And coach, this week you had to play a 6-1 Duluth team, ranked number 16 in the latest coaches poll. Give us a scouting report on the Bulldogs, if you would.
And it's the same old, same old. They're going to, you know, ground and pound on the offense. They do have a really nice veteran O-line, good tight end fullback group, great skill. They got a Carmichael kid that's one of the top receivers in the conference, dynamic kid that can, you know, take jet sweeps. He can go out and burn you downfield. He's a really good player. And then, obviously, I think everything goes back to their ability to run the ball. We got, you know, good running backs. They're just solid all the way around. Starting quarterback was banged up. He got back last week to run. You know, I think he played about half the game. So Larson, you know, maybe a little bit more of a runner. The other kid kind of running their traditional offense. So just adds elements and already difficult game plan to go stop them. And defensively, they are who they are. They're going to be aggressive up front. Got a lot of skilled kids on the field, and they're going to blitz and get after you and pressure you. So that's been the loose MO for a long time. So that's really them in a nutshell, and very good team, deserving of their rank, and it's going to be a battle.
And you mentioned Larson being down, and they had to go to their backup, Gretz. Oh, he's only got 7 touchdown passes. I mean, it's like it doesn't matter who they put in a quarterback. The quarterbacks always play well for Duluth. Is that the case as you see it?
Yeah, I think when you look back, I think they hate to put it, the analogy of putting training wheels on the offense for him early, and like they slowed it down. It's not as elaborate as it was for Larson, which is natural when you have a younger guy leading the group. But they played to his strengths. They did a lot of boots. They did some high percentage throws early when he took the reins. And you can see, like, over the last few games, they've opened up the offense for him, and kind of like Mac Jones with the Patriots, you know, it was really, you know, very constricted what they were calling, and now they're evolving to open it up more. Kind of the same thing I feel like Duluth's doing with their young quarterback and getting him some confidence. So I think they're evolving back, because at the beginning of the year they're pretty explosive when everybody was healthy, and they've had some injuries too, just like everybody. So that might have played into it. But I thought they played a really, really solid game last week against Concordia St. Paul. They left a lot of points out. They had a couple missed field goals and missed opportunities in the first half, and then, you know, opened it up in the second half. But yeah, they played well, and their quarterbacks, yeah, like you said, kind of just substitute the name, just throw a guy in there, and they usually perform pretty well for them. So obviously a user-friendly offense, and certainly when you're running the ball, that makes it easier.
For your offense this week, certainly a better start, you know, at least a faster start than the last couple of weeks is important. But what else does your offense need to do well to get you into this ball game early?
And we got to just get off to a good start. You know, we've had a couple games where we've turned it over early. Just get confidence, get into a rhythm. I think that's always part of the equation on offense, where maybe you got some new faces. So, yeah, we want to be able to run the ball. Obviously, we got to hit some explosive plays, which Moorhead did a really nice job of negating some explosive plays outside of Malik, just being Malik and doing some stuff that way. So depending on what type of Duluth team you're going to get, if they're going to get up there and be aggressive, or if they're going to play back a little bit more, we'll have to play it out. But certainly getting off to a good start, in, you know, even if it's flipping field position, putting some drives together to chew up some clock, Those are very important things. So for our confidence of going over there and playing a good team on the road.
We talk about three phases of the game, and I think the last couple of weeks have shown us how important that special teams phase of the game is. How important is it for your team to play well in that phase, improve where they need to improve? But they had a block field goal of their own last week. They've played well on their side of the ball. But how big will special teams be today, you think?
Oh, it's always big. I mean, you always take it for granted, and then all of a sudden you get a block, you know, punt. It's, I was talking to one of our former coaches, Robbie Ulrich. He's down at South Dakota as a special teams coordinator. He's like, you know, if you're an O-line coach, you give up a sack, you know, you go on to the next down. If you're a special teams coach and you give up a block punt, you're usually looking for a different job. So it's one of those, you know, the importance of the of that piece, that one particular play is monumental, and it can kind of come down to all that, like game-winning field goals or the execution in those phases at really important times. So, yeah, we got to clean some stuff up on punt. We got to, you know, continue to execute in our punt return game. It's been close. So we've been close on some stuff, even on kickoff and punt return. We just need to hit some explosive plays and continue to play physical and make that part of our advantage for the week.
Duluth is always a tough place to play, not just because of the team that you're playing, but the environment in itself. Yeah. Talk about preparing your team to go play in that tough environment against a very good football team.
You know, I think our kids would prefer to go play in an environment like that. I mean, it's fun. You feed off of it. You're going against a good competition. It's not like we haven't been challenged to go play at some difficult places. We've been at Sioux Falls. We've been at, you know, certainly Mankato was a fun environment. I think all of us, this is why you coach and you go out and you want to be in those environments. So, you know, cream rises to the top. You gotta use that to your advantage. And so I think your kids are, you'll see us be ready to go and not be at all intimidated going over into that environment, because we've already, like I said, been exposed to it quite a bit. So I think nothing can be nothing but helpful for us to rise to the challenge and get ourselves ready to go.
Well, Coach, thanks for your time and good luck today.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Head Coach Brent Bolte joining us before today's game. Lineups and kickoff are next on the Beaver Radio Network.